As season 5 comes to an end, our best season to date, thank you everybody who has downloaded every episode and continues to listen to the Clink Stories of Redemption. Our last episode for this season is going to be dedicated to a wonderful man who we lost, someone who came into season 1 and gave us a wonderful story of redemption, Bernie Matthews. Rest easy, old friend, and our condolences and thoughts go out to your loved ones and family. Enjoy Bernie Matthews' story of redemption.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
We're back. It's 2022, season 6 of The Clink. Hope everybody had an amazing Christmas break, safe, and enjoyed yourselves, drank heaps and heaps of piss. Well, no, maybe not so much. But I hope you ate well and had a good time. Today's guest is a wonderful man, somebody whom I had the pleasure of meeting not so long ago, and it led us down to today's interview. His name's Gabriel Willie, known as the Bush Tucker Bungie. Brother, welcome to The Clink.
Muck around. Cheers, brother. Thanks for having me. How you going?
Who are you? Where are you from?
Who are you, mob?
Brother, wow. How's Christmas?
Yeah, good, brother. Good. You know, just had a little fucking quiet one with the family and that. A couple of cousins down the beach just fucking eating and swimming all day, bro.
I'll tell you what, you've put some miles in, haven't you? In the end of the year, you've been travelling non-stop, working your hole out. Mm. And look, let's be honest, you've put a lot of effort in with communities, and it's been really good watching your journey.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So we just finished up the last sort of. We had a contract to do with PCYC. We've done a partnership with them to go up and do workshops with 14 different communities in Queensland. So yeah, wow. Finished up in the last month there. So.
Well, let's get deep into that in a little bit. For now, for those that don't know who Gabriel is, he's a brother from North Queensland, an Indigenous man. What's the country you're from up there, brother?
So originally from Rockhampton. I was born in Rocky in central Queensland, Darumbal country. My mob from out west there, Theodore, so that's a Willy Willy mob. And then on my father's side, I'm South Sea, so, you know, more from Vanuatu.
Life today is pretty good. You're a very funny man. You're an actor. You're a comedian. You bring a lot of joy to people's lives. And I can't help but think that it actually puts a smile on your face, putting a smile on other people's faces. But life wasn't always that funny, was it, mate?
Nah, you know, I suppose everybody, you know, what they say, it gets bad before it gets worse. But yeah, nah, fucking where I'm at now is good and, you know, I love it. And fucking, yeah.
Let's go back, brother. Let's go back to the earlier part of your life, your teenage years. And for those that don't know, there is a backstory to who you are today, and definitely a wonderful story of redemption. And I really feel that your story today is going to inspire many, and I hope that we can reach far and wide and show people that you can come out the other side. Let them know, brother. Let's get deep.
Yeah, too easy, but I don't know. Go on, you shoot away with questions and I'll just answer.
This is your story of redemption, brother. I'm here just to lead you on.
I don't know, man. So, fucking, I suppose, you know, growing up in Rocky is, you know, that's sort of small town shit and not much else to do, bro. So, you get caught up in the fucking, in the cycle. You know, all the fucking crime and drugs and that sort of stuff. I suppose, you know, I used to get fucking, you know, picked up by mum from the watch house every second night when I was in high school and shit like that. I mean, that's sort of, you know, spin out on my kids because they're not fucking nothing like me, thank God. But yeah, they're good. They go to school and that every day. But you know, so yeah, bro, it's just like I said, you know, getting fucking caught up with the hanging around with the wrong crew and all that sort of shit. But I suppose, you know, when you're around Rocky, everyone's sort of doing the same sort of shit anyway back then. So you can't really
help. Was it more community sort of life living, or was it just general everybody, you know, from all walks of life living around where you were living? Because I mean, obviously, you know, we have a lot of different communities in North Queensland. Generally, the mob stick with the mob, and then you know, you also have those sort of other areas that we do have a lot of mixed. How was it for you?
No, well, see, you know, Rocky got a big, you know, Indigenous community, and then you know, you got Wurri and that. There's not too far out of town, so big lot of Wurri, you know, a lot. I suppose because it's a bit of a fucking, you know, redneck background there in Rocky too. So yeah, mob sort of did stick with mob, but I don't know. I was a bit different, bro. I like to fucking mix with every cunt, man. You know, playing footy too. You know, so playing footy sort of got you around to meet everybody and shit like that. I mean, but you know, same thing. You know, even the white fellas and the fucking other fellas were doing the same shit. You know, stealing and stuff like that, and fucking, you know, stealing cars and fucking selling weed and everything else.
I've got to admit, Rocky's quite an interesting place, driving trucks around Australia. I've come through there plenty of times and pulled up for the night. It's not that big a town. You come through one big roundabout and you go out another one, you're out.
yeah, that's it, bro, that's it.
Life, though, you know, around you and your generation up there predominantly was a pretty crazy time. The ice was coming in hard, you know, really starting to destroy families, community. You firsthand experienced that, and talk to us about how it was and what life was like up there in and around
that. I suppose, well, growing up, you know, getting introduced to all drugs and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, growing up around a couple of my uncles, you know, they were, you know, in and out of jail, and, you know, they'd be fucking slinging, you know, sleeping under the house and fucking slinging all day and sort of shit like that. And then, you know, of course, as we got older, We'd fucking want to join in smoking, and then next minute we're fucking dealing in that too. And then, yeah, you know, first it was started off with, you know, just weed. Like, fuck, bro, I was growing weed in the middle of the fucking middle of town in Yeppoon when I was living there, you know, right behind the fucking police station. We were sitting up there in the middle of our patch smoking down, looking at the fucking coppers go in and out. But, yeah, bro. And then, you know, then it got to, you know, pills came along. And we say everyone sort of started doing that. But yeah, and then fucking, yeah, that wasn't too bad. We were, you know, making money and stuff like that and having fun. Nothing sort of too, you know, shit would happen. No one talked too much at school. But yeah, you know, cunts are getting robbed and all that sort of stuff. But it sort of all got worse, man, with fucking when the ice started hitting town, you know. I suppose it's everywhere like that now. Right. It'd be, like, because when it first come to town, I was sort of in and out of town, doing a bit of working with media. I was, you know, traveling in and out. And when I come back, the boys are like, "Yeah, try some of this shit, bro." And you know, first it started off as a puff every weekend, and then next minute, yeah, bro, I'm fucking robbing people and fucking running into fucking selling anything I could get my fucking hands on, bro.
Yeah, so you ended up with an addiction.
Yeah, bro. You know. Pretty bad. I was fucking, looked like fucking Michael Jackson on Thriller, you know. I was fucking, yeah.
I tell you what, it'd be hard for you too, you know, when you're around the brothers and, you know, your family and that, if they're all sort of chopping in, you'd sort of feel a bit funny if they were sitting down and you weren't sort of having a go with them or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just feeling that you're the outsider, basically, yeah?
Oh, you know, it just, fuck, it's just like everyone's doing it. So, you know what? What the fuck? Yeah, well, yeah, swing it here then. And you don't sort of realize that you're fucking, you know, you're that deep in it until, yeah, you're fucking sitting in the car with the boys ready to fucking go fucking knock something off to get it, or fucking, you know, go so try and roll someone or something like that. And then you fucking look in the mirror one day and you're fucking, they're skin and bones, man.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And the thing is too, like you said, you know, you're away working too. Did that have an impact on you though back then in reference to your work ethic? And did you find that you went from obviously having a bit of a plan and, you know, a daily sort of a goal or whatever it was that you were looking forward to then maybe start to
slip? Yeah, bro, like, I'd always sort of, you know, with weed and that sort of stuff, I'd always smoked and worked and shit like that. And then, like, with ice, man, when I was doing that shit, like, it sort of, when I first started, I was working. It was fucked up, bro, because this is how I knew I was starting to, you know, fuck up, because I was working at a, doing teacher aid out of school. And in the lunch times, I'd be sneaking off in the staff room in the fucking toilets. Everyone's just sitting outside there, man. I'd be sneaking off in the staff room, fucking hitting the pipe in the fucking toilet, man. You know, and then going out and fucking, you know, working with kids. I'm like, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, wow. And you would have just felt that you were being, in your eyes, normal, because obviously you knew that if you weren't getting what you needed, you were going to be sick and not be normal, and might have been a much different picture for you, eh?
You know, like I said, you know, like you said, you know, you think you're fucking normal because it's just what you've been doing and thing like that. But it got to the point where I lost everything, man. Lost the job, lost the missus. She took the kids and that away, and I was in a fucking, house by myself, no fucking furniture, just looking at the roof. Like, I got to that point where, you know, I was hiding in the cupboard whenever they'd come around. She'd bring the kids to come around and see me, and I'd be fucking hiding in the cupboard, so, you know, pretending I'm not home, so I can fucking, you know, sit there fucking sucking on that glass dick.
So you was literally on your own, still smoking the ice and getting high.
Yeah.
But at the same time, consciously knowing that this is not what you want, but this is where you're at.
Yeah, that's it.
It must have been tough, brother.
Yeah, it was fucked, man, you know. People, you know, like bros that you're growing up with and that sort of stuff, you see them change, man. And even myself, I was fucking not the same person I was before I started doing that shit. You know, you're sitting around with the boys and, you know, you're sitting around with one group of mates one day and they all, you know, yarning up and this and that. And then you go around the next week and then fucking they got robbed by the other fellas you were sitting with. And it's like,
yeah, there's no trust, is there?
Nah, there's no trust. There's no fucking loyalty. And there's no fucking, you know, no boundaries, really. I mean, fuck, you know. Most of the mates I grew up with, I mean, sounds fucking cliche and that sort of shit, but they're either, you know, still stuck in the cycle, locked up, or they're fucking, you know, dead. I've had a couple of fucking brothers, before I left down here, one, you know, mate, got fucking murdered and shit like that, and one other brother now, close brother now, he fucking committed suicide just not long ago.
Yeah, and they're the realities of what comes, you know, of the highs and, you know, what you think of the good times at that time. And I know that, you know, for a lot of people out there, especially here on The Clink, there's a lot of listeners out there that are recovering addicts that would appreciate the honesty that you're sharing today. Because I know too, you know, it's not easy when you open yourself up as you are right now. And I thank you for your honesty too, because, you know, you are somebody in the public eye. You are somebody that, you know, truly has an impact on people today in a much positive way. And I love it. And I think a lot of people really appreciate who you are. And I think that, you know, by you trusting us here at The Clink to be able to share your story of redemption is extremely powerful and very honourable on your behalf, because I feel that, you know, in my eyes, if I can change one person's life through my actions, then my life's worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely right. Cheers, eh? I don't know. I suppose I haven't spoken like publicly or anything like anything about any shit like this. But yeah, you know, my background and, you know, with drugs and all that sort
of stuff.
Gabe,
can I ask you what, I mean, for most people, acknowledging that you're in a house on your own, you're an addict, you know, you've got no furniture, no food, your kids are knocking at the door with, you know, the wife, but you're hiding. I mean, did that eat at you to the point where you felt that enough was enough? What was the turning point? Where did you sort of really start to go, fuck, I need to get my shit together? And how did you do it? How did you get through that? Talk us through what you went through, if you can.
Pretty much was around that time. You know, the thing that fucking got me through it, man, and without a doubt, is the missus, man. You know, the missus. If I didn't have her, bro, I'd straight up be in a box or fucking in jail. I'd probably be in a box more likely. But, yeah, man, so once I'd, you know, we sort of had our troubles and that sort of stuff, and she's like, fuck, this is, you know, because it got to the point where cunts were driving past the house at night and, you know, shining a big fucking spotty in there, man, seeing who was there and, you know, get run in on and shit, and I'm like, it's not safe for the kids, eh? So they had to move out and shit, and then, like you said, you know, I was sitting there
Because you would have been extremely paranoid too with the drugs in your system, wouldn't you, at that stage as well?
Yeah,
that couldn't have been healthy.
No, fuck no, you know. And hanging around with the fellas that I was hanging around with, you know, I was just not fucking safe either, really. But, yeah, so it was that point, you know, we got to that point where I was, like, fucking just in the house looking at the thing, and she wanted to get out, you know. She wanted to get out of town. Her parents gave her the opportunity, like, fucking there's nothing happening here in Rocky. This cunt's fucking up, man. So they offered to get her a house down here in Gold Coast.
So her parents supported you both and your family, or were they more sort of helping your wife to move away for hopefully you to follow, or how was that?
Yeah, I think it was like that, eh? I think it was like, yeah, they're trying to help her out, but, you know, I think they're probably hoping that I would follow too, because, you know, they could see that I wasn't doing good. I wasn't, you know, the usual fucking Gabriel, or how I was when I first met him.
Was there any times there where you sort of got to the point, Gabe, where you really felt that you were never going to get out of it and that there was only one way out?
All towards that point, man, when I was sitting at the house and just looking up and, like, yeah, like, so the, you know, the mate fucking, a few mates were coming around to, like, we got rolled or stabbed and shit like that, and they're coming around. It's like, bro, come and help me, like, coming to me, like, I'm the fucking, like, I'm the man to go sort the problems.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I'm well known and that sort of shit, but I'm not going to be going doing that sort of shit. And then, you know, mates are fucking, my close mate got murdered and shit, and I was only, you know, with him like fucking days before. It's like, what the fuck, man?
When that happened, you were still using and life was...
Yeah.
So you would have been really in a terrible mindset.
Still fucked up, bro, you know? And I was like, fuck this. And she come around one day, misses that, and she's just like, so we found a house, we got a house, we go next week. If you're coming, you're fucking coming, and you know, we're not coming back here. But if you're staying, you know, don't come looking for us.
God bless her.
Man. So I was like, fucking, like I said, weighed up all that shit that was happening, you know, mate's getting robbed, fucking stabbed and murdered and shit. And I'm like, yeah, man, I know where it's going if I stay here. So I've got to go.
What did you do, Gabe? Did you just pack your bags and just say, right, we're gone, we're out of here, and just go? Or did you sort of go around and say goodbye to everyone, have one last little toke of everyone? I mean, how was it leaving a community and a way of life that you only knew, really?
Nah, I just left, bro. I had to just leave. His father, he come around with the truck, helped him pack, jumped in it, went, never come back.
Wow, what a never turning point. How did you find that then? Because you would have gone into some terrible withdrawals, both mentally and physically.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I didn't really stop as soon as we got down here. You know, the ice sort of carried on a bit down here.
Okay.
Because I had one, I ended up finding one mate that was from back home, and he was that was fucking from back home, and oh, bro, he's like loose as cunt. No, fucking ended up hooking up with him, and yeah, you know. So
I find it fucking. I don't laugh because it's not funny, but I laugh in a sense that. When you say that you got out of there, but, you know, you found the ice. I growing up in Sydney, I had, back in the day, a lot of mates heroin addicts. And, you know, we used to go away doing urns and all this sort of stuff. And I used to try and get them to places where I felt that they couldn't get on. And I knew they were going to be crook, and I knew they were going to be hanging out, and fucking life was going to be tough. But I'd get them in a hotel room, and, you know, they'd take a little bit of gear with them. And then you'd know that that was it, and they'd be on the chase, you know what I mean? But you had to try and be strong. And I don't know how many times they would find it fucking anywhere. It didn't matter where we went, what state, they would find a shot.
Yeah, yep. And you know, when you think, you pick up on the people who are fucking on it too, as soon as you know, when you fucking think.
you know.
You know when you're on the fucking, rocket, you know when you're on the gear, you know who else is on the country.
Put the tentacles the up, you're start hunting,
that's it.
Put the radar out.
That's it. You know,
you've come down to the Gold Coast, Gabe, and you're with the family, obviously an amazing partner that's willing to support you and get you through these tough times, and you continue to use. Where did that lead?
I was slowly sort of coming off it. Like, when we first got down here, it was fucking shit, because, you know, we're trying to start this new life, you know, start up and all that sort of stuff, and, like, within a week or whatever, it was like fucking like 10 deers at the front of the house because of my old mate up there got murdered and shit. And like I'm in the middle of the fucking front yard getting DNA tested while all the neighbours are looking at me, looking at us, you know, on show. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? What's this cunt moving in? But yeah, then it's like, met old mate, and then he's had a few fucking simple characters come around, man, and that just wasn't a thing. That wasn't fucking good for the new setup. But it didn't sort of thing. Like you're saying, you know, you could take someone anywhere and they'd find it, get on. I'd only sort of go through that mate. I'd never ask to be introduced to any cunt down here to get on, because I knew if I did, I'd go there myself. I wouldn't have to go fucking pick him up.
No, you'd open it. It'd be just open doors, wouldn't it?
You could get it'd just be open doors and thing, yeah. And like, because weed was my thing, but I used to love a Yandy. And fuck, man, when I first come down here, I don't know any kind to get on Yandy, but I could get a fucking, you know, bag of rock easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I used to say to every cunt from back home, then I said, if you just can't come back here and tell me that you're getting your Yandy from Gold Coast, you're a lying cunt. Because I can't even get a fucking stick. You're telling me you're coming down here getting pounds, man. Fuck you. You're a lying cunt.
But hang on a sec. Didn't you say there was a heap of Asians up there? They must have been growing that good Vietnamese shit.
Yeah, it must have been, bro. Them little fucking bonsais in the flat that they live in, the cunts.
You gotta get like me, bro. Get medically approved, and that way you can have your oil and your fucking weed. Bro, I get raided and I just go, there's my weed up there. we don't wonder about that.
Oh, shit. Bro, I'm sure I need it. At least I used to go to sleep. I don't sleep much, man. I was awake till like 5 o'clock this morning. Fucking hell.
It is hard. I find that too, you know. I just... minimal sleep, like I go 4 or 5 hours max, and it's always broken. And the next minute I'm up. Once I'm awake, I'm awake. My brain just goes, and I don't stop.
It
is hard. Did you find that once you stopped using, there was definitely some side effects that have affected you long term from the use?
Memory, man. Yeah. Memory, like fuck, I don't remember a lot of shit from growing up, man. But you know. You sit down at, you know, get-togethers or whatever with family and stuff like that, and it's like, fuck, I don't even remember that happened, man. Like, I was there because you're telling me I was there, but fuck, man, I don't remember. You know, and that's the other side of the family where, you know, they don't sort of do drugs. And they're big drinkers, but they don't, you know, do any other shit.
And they are well aware of your past and your struggles and where you are today?
No, well, that's what I mean. See, like, on my dad's side of the family, they're, like, real... Oh, they're party people, but they're not into the sort of drugs and shit like that. So, like, growing up, I didn't... When I was doing that shit, I didn't hang around them. I sort of pulled myself away from them because I didn't want them to see me like that.
Was that the South Sea Islander mob?
Yeah. Pretty much all family, man. I just sort of stuck with that, you know, with the group that was I was doing the shit with. Yeah, I didn't really have nothing to do with family when I was fucking up.
When,
I suppose because I was like the oldest and, you know, sort of looked up to in the family as, you know, thing. I used to be have this job back there. That's where my first introduction to media. I was doing Bush TV and it was like fucking, you know, this little thing clipping on the news in between halftime and footy. So. Every cunt knew who I was and all that sort of stuff from that, you know, and that was kind of like, oh, he's got a good job and all this sort of stuff.
Was that on NITV?
No, that was on, what's footy, Channel 9?
Oh, true. I'm footy. That's
it. Yeah, like, bro. Yeah,
national, so national channel and everything.
National TV, bro. Red-eyed every time, half-time. Why? I'm Gabriel Willie. Welcome to Bush TV. Swear to God. So that's what I mean. I could have had that. I had the opportunity to take that, you know, take that company over to run it and that, but I was just too busy, caught up in fucking, trying to be a gangster and shit.
Did you find that those opportunities at that stage in your life came and went, or were they things that you were still functioning with an addiction and working and still, you know, hiding that fact that if it was there, you'd
probably use it? I was kind of like, you know, functioning while doing it too, because I was working with, another group too, sort of running their media department.
How did you find that though, going from someone that obviously had and still does amazing talent? There's no two ways about it. You're dead set you know, you're a character. And, you know, it's really, really cool to see. That opportunity, though, I guess is a blessing that you're still able to do that today, you know, from where you could have gone. Things could have gone real bad for you, couldn't
they? Yeah. You know, I got to a point where I just wanted fucking better for myself and my kids. And I was like, fuck, man, you know, you got fucking four kids now. That was before I had Bub. And I was like, you got four kids now, man. You're going to fucking keep on, you know, running around acting like a fuckhead, or you're going to, you know, you're going to man up and fucking do something. Like, you know how to do this shit. And I was seeing other people, you know, like they have black comedy and, you know, he's had this Ian Zaro and that doing all these fucking videos and stuff. I'm like, I've got equipment. I got the fucking stuff here to do it. I could do that shit. So I just started doing it, and I couldn't get no job. When I first got down here, I was working with one lad doing asbestos removal, and it was like, it was fucking hard work, man. $100 a day. And when you're supposed to be getting paid fucking, you know, 60 an hour or some shit like that. But, you know, you take what you can, and then, you know, you do that shit, bust your ass all week and come down, and they'll be like, oh, bro, I only got half your pay. I'm like, bro, I can't pay fucking, I can't feed half my kids, cunt. Like, what are we going to do? Yeah. I just thought, fuck it. Gotta hustle and gotta do something.
So when was that? When was the final time? When was that last moment where you just went, I am done?
I got an opportunity to get a job down here. So there was a one of the employment agencies, the chick, just like, there's a job here that you could start next week, but you gotta do a drug test. Are you clean? I said, oh, fuck, man. Like, I was still smoking a bit of Yandy then. And I said, oh, fuck, give us like 2 weeks. And she's like, yep, okay, I'll give you 2 weeks.
And she, start flushing.
Yeah, and just started, you know, flushing out, bro. And went and done the interview, got the job, and yeah, that's when I sort of fucking kicked it. Got the job.
Yeah, it's been, you know, watching your journey to date, and there's obviously a lot more that, you know, you only see so much publicly, but, you know, you've, as you said, you're on TV, you're a comedian. You're a dancer, you're entertained. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that. How do you find that connection back with, you know, barefoot and hitting the earth and stomping and stuff like that for your personal growth? And
Yeah. I think coming down here and dancing with the brother Luther there too, I suppose that was another thing, you know, culture's always sort of been important to me and that. I danced at, like, when I was young and that sort of stuff. And before I moved down, we were just starting to do a dance troupe up in Rocky there. But, you know, shit, we left. But coming down here, and then, you know, Luther, he asked me one day, he's like, I need a ditch play. You want to come and play ditch for the day? I'm like, yeah, sweet, 2 weeks, I can play ditch. Went down, and I've played ditch before, but never for a troop or anything. And he, you know, played, and he's like, oh, yeah, Delic, see you tomorrow. I'm like, hey, oh, all right, then.
You got the job.
Yeah, I was like, oh, all right. And I've been there ever since. But, you know, that was another thing, too. Wow. Like, I didn't want to, I don't know. I didn't want to do dance, you know, do that sort of stuff, do culture and that, while on drugs or charged or anything like that, you know. So, and we
it's disrespectful, isn't it? Like, it's spiritually not good for you. Nah. It's not good for, you know, the ancestors that are there that you're
100%
asking for the love and protection from.
That's
and
it, you know,
the blessings.
It's not. You know, it's not right. You know, so I was like, fuck. And that was good because we danced like 7 days a week, man. I only get Christmas Day off, and so you had no chance or time to fuck around. So it was good. That helped me.
I think that's very important, and I think that, you know, from a brother like yourself, you know, speaking out on the podcast here, you know, what advice would you give a young brother out there that's trying to, you know, get some direction and find some positivity in his life but stuck in a rut? You know, would you suggest to head towards your culture and go deep?
Yeah, man, connect to country, man. Go back to your roots, or, you know, your mob, and learn a bit of that culture, because once you start learning that thing, it gives you a sense of pride and fucking, well, me, this is how it was for me anyway. It gave me a sense of pride, and because I was, you know, I was doing my culture, you know, getting painted up and shit and dancing and, you know, and putting on the show and that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, our ancestors never done any shit like this. Never done any shit like that or got caught up in any fucking sort of shit like that. So, you know, you kind of feel like I don't know, man. It's like they're there with you when you're doing it. And,
do you truly believe that was probably a massive part of your rehab, reconnecting with country and culture?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, I didn't want to...
cleansing your own spirit and just truly finding you again?
Yeah, shit, yeah, because I didn't want to do that shit anymore if I was going to be doing culture, you know. So I was like, yeah. And hanging around the other brothers here too, you know, dancing that too. They don't drink or smoke cigarettes and shit like that. So, you know.
So they're very like-minded. The peers that you're around and the mob that you're with, they support each other, and you know you're all there lifting each, like, proper mob, proper family, and just holding it down.
That's it, you know. Giving each other a fucking helping hand and good advice when you need it and shit like that. That's good.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it? When you talk about the connection of country and culture and the spiritual side of it and the healing process, because I think that, you know, for you fellas to be able to have that opportunity to be healed again, and there is so much toxic shit, you know, in the mainstream world that we live today, and I guess, you know, look, I grew up around a mission, all that sort of stuff, so I definitely understand and respect culture. I'm a white fella, but you know, I'm gonna grow up around with a black heart. So for me, I was privy to a lot that most would never see or understand. And I understand the shift, you know, and that connection. And I think that if any young mob out there that are struggling, that it's a very powerful, powerful thing to go back to your people in your country.
Yeah, that's it. You know, just sitting and talking with the elders, you know, that's something in itself that has fucking sort of has some powerful fucking benefits, man. Because they've been through shit too. You know, they've been through hard times.
Can I ask you, without sort of disrespectfully going into the elders' business, but had you seen or spoken to a lot of elders that felt that the way mob were today, it was becoming disheartening for them and hard for them to try and bring back culture and into the mob that they've always been able to connect with?
You know what? Yeah, pretty, like, more around city and built up areas, man. It's you know, you see the older ones, it's hard for them to get the young ones to engage and shit because there's so many, you know, influences, you know, we're heavily influenced by American, you know, rap music and what they see on fucking TV, like, you know, most mob can fucking break dance on beatbox but can't fucking shake a leg or play didge, you know what I mean? A lot of ones in city, yeah, and stuff, true, like that. Whereas, like, out in community, yeah, you know, it's a bit different, you know, they still run into the same problems, you know, with fucking sniffing and everything else and that sort of stuff. But them kids are a lot more connected with culture and land and stuff like that, you know? Land and language and everything else like that. I suppose that remoteness helps because, you know, you can't fucking, you know, influences are hard to get into, I suppose. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, and I guess today, look, if we can be honest, you know, every second person, or pretty well every person, has got some sort of technology where they can connect, see what's going on in the cities or, you know, around the world and stuff, and be influenced in that respect. I think that, you know, if that was to be minimised, in which you find a lot of mob, and once again, I've been privileged to be able to connect with a lot of country around Australia, you know, and meet so many different mob. And, you know, the further north and west you head, it's just unbelievable, you know, like, I love it, you know, and it's just real, and the earth is connected to country, and it's just, it's beautiful, you know what I mean? Like, it actually gives you that sense of wanting to live that way and not have that toxic way brought into your community.
Yeah, right? That's it, man. Fucking, I love it, man, going to the communities and, you know, getting them all to take us out on country, fishing, spearing, or, you know, just telling our stories about the land and that sort of stuff, man. It makes you want to go bush, man. Makes you want to go bush and stay bush, like, with all this fucking rona and shit. I was like, man, fuck this. I'd rather just pack up and go hide out in the fucking scrubby or something, you know? Chase kangaroos in a pair of jocks.
And you know what? I get it. I truly get it. And I don't think a lot of people understand why someone says that until they've been there. Like, you know, get out and see our country.
Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah.
Like, literally, fuck going overseas. Nah. Just go and see what Australia is and understand culture and understand how many different countries are in one country and state? Because I don't even think people understand, you know, different land, you know, the different mob and different sort of tongue and just the whole, everyone, they're all Indigenous First Nation peoples, but each country has its rightful gatekeepers, you know, and has its own community in a way. And It's all
the same language,
the
stories.
Same but different.
Yeah, but that's it. You know, they'll have them, you know, similar things they'll do, but then they'll be fucking some of the totally different ways about it. Like we go here, spearing crab and fucking stingray and that. We'll go down the fucking mangroves and stuff around and look for all of that. But when we went in Marpoon, fuck, bro, I'd never even thought of it like fucking spearing crabs off the beach. We're driving along the beach in the back of the ute. Yeah, on the back of the ute, there's beaches, no mangroves around or nothing. We're cruising along, yep, bang, there's one. And they just jump out of the fucking truck, spear, bang. Big fucking muddies, bros. Big muddies, just all along the beach. Yeah, sitting on the sand, bros. And like fucking, you know, you think, I naturally think, well, everywhere I grew up, you got to have fucking mangroves or, you know, walk through the fucking mud for a thing. Ah, bro, there's crystal clear fucking water. You spot them from the top of the fucking ute. Then we go up the creek and there's a bit there that's like a little shallow sandbank. And there's like fucking 30 crabs just walking around on there. Like fucking, and you just walk along with the spear, bang, bang, bang.
How beautiful is that, bud? That tells you that there's still untouched land, eh? Still traditional land. Yeah. That's powerful. That's beautiful. And for you to be able to go and experience that, that must have been very healing for you as well.
Bro, you know, it was good. It was, yeah, it was healing. It was fucking mind-blowing. Like, we'd be fishing around. Oh, you know, I've been fishing around. I've been around the country a fair bit, man, but I ain't never seen no shit like that before. Yeah. And then always wanted to see a croc in the wild. And then with that same fucking day, we seen this big, massive fucking 4-meter croc on the fucking beach where these fellas... Turtle, diving for turtle, just straight out in front of it. I'm like, what the fuck?
You're kidding
me?
Yeah.
No. Ooh. Yeah, I'm like, nah, what the fuck?
So the crocs are up there, they're eating the turtles too, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, especially around, wow. You know, nesting time and all that sort of shit, but it's just...
How the brothers go up there when they are sort of hunting for turtle and they have confronted with big fucking crocs.
Nah,
like
they're pretty wary, man. You know, that's their country. They're switched on. They know when it's around and that sort of stuff too, you know, so, yeah.
And how's community up there? They're still living traditionally as best as they can? Is there now, you know, a lot of influence there?
No, well, Marpoon itself, it's a pretty small community. So, you know, a lot of the boys are still, you know, go hunting. And, like, they get, in wet season, you know, cut off from weeper and stuff too. So, you know, sometimes they'll be living off land for months, you know. So, yeah, so they're, you know. Places like that where they're, yeah, cut off and stuff, they're proper still, you know, hunting and stuff like that. Might be, you know, using guns and stuff now, but, you know, still for the same reasons.
They got a lot of wild cattle up there too. I know. I did some work up in the Gulf there. I spent 6 weeks drilling for water for cattle stations, you know, and we're working on 1,000-square-kilometre stations, and it was mind-blowing. And I'll tell you when I see you face-to-face and experience that I had there.
Yeah.
Very spiritual experience and... It had to have been the ancestors because there's no other way that I would have felt or gone through what I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt that I was given the blessing to be there. It was all good, you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was very, very powerful. Yeah, have you been over to, like, Telfer and all out there in Western Australia?
No, I went to...
Like, between Uluru and Telfer, there's a community based out. Like I said, driving the trucks around Australia, I did remote Australia, so I spent a lot of time on the side of the road in the wet, brother. So when you're doing that and you're pulling up at places, you know, like that are full community, mob comes straight out to you. What you doing out here,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah.
Like in this big fucking truck, water's up fucking meter point, 1.2, 1.3 up on the truck. What you doing out here? Where are you from?
You're lost, bro, eh?
Yeah, fucking, it's a crack up. But have you been out to those communities out there that are literally out in the middle of fucking nowhere?
No, well, not the ones you said, but I've been to a few over there in WA, like that are fucking, you know, like, what's the one, Mullaja? That was a spin out. I think English is like third language there. You know, and then, you know, they're telling us stories. Like these little 10-year-olds, same age as my son, fucking caught a pig with a pair of scissors.
Isn't that amazing, bud? That right there, that's... You know, that's everything you could want for your children. All right, I don't want to sort of dishearten people out there about killing animals with scissors and stuff, but we're talking about young mob on country, that this is their way of life. So, you know, they're not sitting around using technology and all this sort of shit. They're out living it at that age, becoming young men.
Yeah, that's their way of life, you know. They don't do that, they don't eat.
I think I seen a video years ago at YouTube about six or seven young fellas out there, and there was these couple of little pigs running around, and they're getting on the back of it, and they're fucking riding them like bulls.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Just jump on it and take off, eh?
Yeah, they're off. And they're all going, having a mad time. That was just part of their fun.
And that's just their game, yeah, shit.
So speaking of the wig, brother, because I think it's massive importance to who you are today. You know, not only are you a wonderful father of five children?
Five
beautiful children and a husband, and you know, you're out there giving back to so many people, but you go from this really dark time in your life to start opening up a door that shone so much light. Where did all that begin?
Basically, bro, I just seen, like, fucking, it was around the time when, you know, black comedy and that was starting up, and then what's this then, slut, you know, everyone was doing that shit, and I seen, what's his name, old Ian Zara doing the dub smashing. I'm like, wow, I could fucking do this, man. You'll fucking do this. So I got the camera and shit, and I started making videos, and I'm like, said to my missus, you watch, I'll get on that show. You know, I was just fucking around. I said, I'll get on that show, you watch. And then I started making videos. I think the first one was like a Bruno and Beyonce halftime Super Bowl thing. My sister rang me up, and she's like, oh, are you famous now? And I went and looked on the thing, and it was like, oh, yeah, 50,000 views. I went down to footy training, come back, and it was like 180,000, 200,000 views. I'm like, hey, fuck around. We got something here. Here we go. Here we go. But at the start, I wasn't wearing the wig, though.
You just had your pretty little face on there.
Yeah, I just had my pretty little face and my fucking, that was when I was boning out a six-pack and everything, you know? Oh, fucking hell.
That's back when you had your speeders on.
That's him. Yeah. But no, then, yeah, bro, I just sort of got a taste for it. I was like, fucking, just having fun with it then. You know, it was never about really, you know, fucking making money or trying to get a million followers or anything like that. It was just, because I got down here and I didn't know any cunt. So I'd be sitting at home all the time, and when I get on Facebook, all the family back home were serious or fucking, you know, taking photos of their food and shit. I'm like, yeah, Murray starving here, fuck yes. But so I thought, fuck it. You know, and then, you know, I was usually the class clown, although, you know, life at the party back home. So I thought, oh, well, these mob need a laugh. Let's make some videos. I can't do it there for you. So yeah, make a video, watch this cunt. And then boom. Yeah, bro.
So you weren't picked up by anybody as such at this stage. You'd sort of, this is another point in your life where you'd said, okay, really it's on your own merit that you get out there and create this content to build that platform. How many you got that's gone viral now? Like, it's there's a few, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a couple there that's done all right. Yeah,
there's dead set a few, and fuck, they're funny.
I think that Pingu one, Pingu's the main one. The little, if Pingu was an Aboriginal penguin, everywhere you go, they're like, say the vegetable one, say the vegetable one. Little kid, do the penguin one, say, do the penguin one. It's either that or Shrek. I'm like,
what's your favorite? What's been your favorite? Oh, that's Shrek.
Yeah, it's this
Shrek with the voodoo.
Yeah, that's it. It's got voodoo on it. Or Maui, oh, bro. Them kids want you to say the kids like always the want you to say the fucking worst ones too. Like, I'm like, bro, yeah, it's girly. We're going to get in trouble. We both got to get detention if I say that shit.
I find that, you know, these days things are right. You know, we've got to be cautious, I guess, in certain things because we do live in a sensitive society. But in saying that too, people have become a lot more laxed about, you know, just yarning, just speaking as you will, and not taking so much offence to. I mean, look, even on the, you know, these days, you know, like you probably would have struggled to get a podcast like ours out there, and it's very raw content. You know, we don't go through and start to chop it up and blank it out and this and that. That's not what it's about, you know. And I think that your authenticity into your work is really powerful. It's how can I say it? It's offending, but it's not offending, if that makes sense. To somebody down the road that wasn't right into your comedic ways, they might upset a few people, but fuck me dead, brother.
Yeah,
well, you make people laugh.
Too fucking bad. You can be offended. I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to do it. I don't give a fuck. I'll say it how it is, man. If that's how it happens, that's how it's getting told, you know?
And how did you find, like, getting back into the television sort of side of things and Talk to us about that, because I think that's massive too, isn't it?
Like having it was good, man. I always liked doing TV and camera and stuff like that work. It was, it was good. I loved it, man. And then to, just have freedom, because when you work for a station, you got to, follow all the rules and you have sort of fucking guidelines and stuff. Whereas this, it was like, fuck, I could just do what I want. And coming from documentary background, which was all serious and shit, I could just have fucking fun and do this sort of stuff. And then Black Comedy, that was my first sort of TV gig from it. And they put a call out, if anyone was interested in doing the show, put your name down. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to put my name down. And then, and Mrs. and a couple of mates were like, fuck off, can't do it, man. Just have a go. What's the worst that could happen? You get knocked back. So I was like, all right, yeah, fair enough. Boom.
Have you done any of like the major stand-ups before this shit fucking airborne disease got into the world?
Stand-up? No, see, well, that's the thing, bro. I don't do stand-up, man. I just do the camera and stuff. Stand-up's a different game, man. I done stand-up once. Yeah. It was last year or before COVID and shit anyway. And I was like, I done all right, but I'd seen a few shows before that. And I was like, man, that's a different ball game, bro. Like,
Tough gig, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. Because, like, when you're filming and you fuck up, you can reset and go for another take. When you're on stage, let me start that joke again. And if you're getting pumped by the crowd, bro, I'll start swearing at some kind, Yeah, wait till I see you outside, bud. Yeah.
And bring that voodoo out and start swinging it around like a baton.
But nah, big respect to them fellas doing stand-up, man. True God, they're fucking, they're a different breed, man.
I think that, a reality of trying to keep a smile on people's faces, especially in this day and age, and we do live in such a sensitive world that it is important to give people that laughter, as well as, I suppose, is there much flack that you cop? Like, do you find that there is negative that comes to how you deliver things and the things that you create comedy around?
I've copped a bit of shit for a couple of videos and that sort of thing. But, there was when I did the thing with ABC, they actually rang me and said, oh, do you want to do a public apology? And I'm like, nah, I don't do that, If you don't get what I'm saying.
When you say ABC, which can we talk about what it was that was offensive?
So it was the selfie dance thing, the Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and we were all painted up and doing the shake a leg, but doing that dance, yeah. And there was a bit of backlash from it and that, and they're like, oh, it's
from whom? Mob or from just
from
everyone?
Mob. From mob. People that we knew too, like our own family and shit.
True.
And I was like, hey, cunt, we fucking dance every day, and you only started trying to not be Beyonce last week. What the fuck are you talking about?
On your TikTok.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't you get the message? That's where our culture's going. Like, fuck, man. We're not throwing.
So there was a message behind what you were trying to do, was sending out that, we're losing this connection and we're going into this social media platform and world of.
Well, look at us. We're all on our fucking phones these days, So that's what it was. That was my kind of underlying message of it. But some people said it was disrespectful and offensive and all that sort of shit. But they were people who we knew and that sort of stuff. And then, other people jump on the fucking bandwagon or whatever. But yeah, so they rang me and asked me if I wanted to do a public apology. And I said, no, I don't want to.
And was there backlash from that? Did they sort of can having you on the shows or anything or stop you from
they got me back.
Doing what you love.
No, they got me back. They were just wanted to see if I, did apologize or anything. I don't know. Because that's usually what other people would do, I suppose. But, I don't fucking.
But you're being you. That's who you are as a comedian and an entertainer, is just being you're funny. I guess it's like my mate Willem, I'm not trying to offend anyone here, but, if the gay community really wanted to blow up about him talking about blokes on blokes and brothels and male brothels and glory holes and shit, imagine the backlash he could cop. And I just think, fuck. I always said to him, I reckon he should be on his own float during Mardi Gras and head down Oxford Street in his little outfit. He would get so much support from the community. Hell. Because he's genuine, he's just not out there to really upset people. Just like yourself, I guess, in that respect that, you're out there genuinely trying to just put a bit of light on things and you're not there to offend people. Nah. And with your censorship and stuff like that, how does that go? Like... Like, for example, my favourite at Bondi Beach, there in your dick tops.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that one?
No, that was, fuck, bro. That was thing, because, like, when they told me about it, I was like, oh, yeah, this would be deadly. And then they were like, yeah, we got these Aboriginal dick togs for you. I'm like, cunt, I never wore dick togs in my whole life. You want me to wear them on fucking, you know, on national TV? In your hole.
But, did you script that?
No, well, I didn't write that. I didn't write that one. So that was someone else wrote that. So we had a team of writers and then, you know, yeah, so, they just fucking picked.
Because that's you.
Yeah, yeah, that's all fucking.
The way it was written and how you delivered it, that's fucking you. That's you all over. That's your funny side. That's who you are.
No, it was good. You know, it was an easy one to do too, you know, like you say. Fucking, it was good. Bondi.
Can you do it for us? Can you take us back? Because this is only a, give us 2 minutes. Give us a minute. Yeah. Come on, I'll be the old fella. I'll be the old fella. Let's give people a view. Because not everybody would have heard it. Like,
go on, MC. He's out there drowning.
Swim, fuck yeah. Not like that, like this, fuck yeah. Look at this drowning cunt here.
Walks down there, yep.
Here. What do you think I put them fucking flags up for decoration? Swim between a bloody flags, you fucking old, something like that. Anyway, I forget the whole word. Yeah. But yeah, old Bondo.
I think you caught him an old cunt or something.
Get up there, you old bastard. All right.
Arm over arm, you old cunt.
Not like that, like this. Arm over arm. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And what other shows have you been on?
Shit, what have we done? Done a kids show over in WA, Thalu. That was cool.
How did that go with your style of comedian?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing is it wasn't like any sort of like Bungie style character or anything like that. It was still a bit, you know, silly and zany because it was a kid show, obviously. But yeah, so it was good though. It was fun. That was a good thing. We were out in the middle of the desert, and a couple of them young fellas, because the cast there, they must have went back and told the community that, oh, you know, Bungie's out here.
I see. You had the wig on and everything.
No, I didn't have the wig on. They just knew who I was, you know. And then they went there. And the next day, fucking, like, these 10 quads rock up and it's all these kids on the back, doubling, where's Bungie? And then fucking producers and they're like, man, I've worked on a lot of fucking sets and I never seen no cunts come out here looking for the actors. And we in the middle of the desert.
Like, true. Well, black come from bro. Everywhere, bro.
Yeah, black holes, you know, but grapevine.
That must make you feel good, bud, eh?
Oh, yeah, bro, fucking hell, really.
You know, if you can bring that joy into community and know that, you know, you're all the way over here, you're a coastie on the east coast of Australia, this mob, most of them wouldn't even have a fucking TV.
Yeah, true or reception anyway.
That's right, you know, but yet they know who you are.
That's it. Yeah, it's spinning up.
That's powerful. And do you try to deliver messages out there through now your character in hope of, you know, helping these young people today?
I don't think I do it as much as I should, man. I do it not so much on social media, but when I'm doing these programs and stuff like that, I do a lot of, school appearances, guest appearances to yarn with the kids and stuff like that. Yeah.
So you sort of get into that, trying to get them to stay in school, better their educations.
Yeah, that's my kind of biggest thing I sort of push from is, you know, yeah, stay, get an education, man. You know, knowledge is power. You know, the more you know, the less you can be fucked over, you know, and the more you can do.
A few people that I got to meet in my travels and you know, that have actually worked in community out there, you know, tell me that there's a lot of, what's the word, not scholarships. Well, yeah, I suppose there's scholarships, but a lot of opportunity now, more so than before, from predominantly a lot of AFL clubs and stuff that are going out there and seeking out young talented young brothers and sisters out there that, you know, they truly see the natural potential in, and try and keep them culturally connected, but allowing them to have that open door to be able to, you know, head down that corridor of a possibility of a successful future. Have you sort of been able to see part of that? And
in Cairns they got that AFL house and stuff like that, you know. So they get to learn more from our community, bring them into town and, you know, have them do their sporting programs and that, but also, you know, give them sort of insight to what other options are around too, you know, and how to fucking be away from community and sort of not so much integrate or whatever, but because a lot of homesickness is a big thing for mob coming out, you know? So
just having shown them that there's, you know, other mob around, you know, you just got to know where to look or how to reach out to other mob for help and stuff like that.
I think in years gone by too, brother, I just don't think that we're educated enough in mainstream society to understand how hard it was for young mob to come away. You know, it's all good. Mm. You're going on the big stage and, you know, you're talented and everything, but all they want to do was just kick their boots off and run barefoot and be with their mob and, you know, get back to country. Yeah. And it must be so hard because we only hear of the odd one or two that it happens to that makes it. But what about the other 500 that have got the opportunity that don't actually get to that next stage because they just can't find that strength to leave mob?
That's it, you know, had the fucking twice as much talent, but, you know, just didn't have that thing. But, I don't know, it's hard, I guess, eh? Because, you know, like you say, you'd be coming from, you know, especially the remote places, eating, you know, kangaroo and turtle and stuff like that, and then you come down here and you'd look at, this food would look like fucking foreign, man, you know, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Right, no Kentucky and big fucking Mac is out there.
Nah, well, that's it, you know. Fucking sure. Hey, that's it.
The best you're going to get to Roadhouse if you can get there.
Yeah, you know, and then you got the other side too. Like, there's a pub on every fucking corner. There's, strippers and all the rest. It's like, fuck.
How have you found from your experience going into community? Because a lot of it's dry community these days as well.
Mm.
How have you found that? And do you see the benefits? Because, look, there's no bullshit about it. You know, I've seen it, once again, firsthand. Mate, I've actually seen the coppers out at Tennant Creek literally pull a car over that was loaded with fucking emu fucking bitter, and they lined them all up on the side of the road, these cartons, the boxes, and they fucking drove the bum wagon straight over all of them, just crushed it all. And it was just a way of saying, don't fuck with the community. But the prices that they were fetching on payday, and a lot of it's coming out of these mining communities.
Because
there's nothing else around. There's nowhere else to grab the grog from.
Nah, that's it. You know, it's not just like a fucking down the road trip or something like that. There's a good couple hundred k's away. But, I think it's a good thing, I suppose. You know, there's a lot less, you know, I suppose, the shit that goes along with it, you know, crime, domestic violence and all that sort of shit, you know. I mean, you still have your crime and all that sort of stuff, but...
Yeah, of course.
It's nothing like it fucking, you know, some of them communities were used to having, you know what I mean? Mm. But, yeah.
So, do you see a lot of the drugs getting out into these communities these days? And how do you sort of, as someone who has a history of abuse to himself, how do you see young brothers and sisters if you... I mean, look, it's there. There's no two ways about it. It's fucking there. It's plain and simple. And I know that, you know, it's tough out there. You only got to look at Alice.
Mm-mm.
Alice Springs is a fine example of, you know, drugs and what's going on up there. It's rife. It's bad. Does it make you feel sort of like powerful? Not powerful. I don't know what the fucking word is. Does it make you want to just try and help these young mob?
Yeah. You know, it makes you want to like fucking... Yeah, it makes you want to help, but then at the same time, sometimes it makes you feel fucking helpless because you know you're only there for a limited time or whatever, and you know, like, fuck, man, like, I can say this, you know, give you a little inspirational speech today, but I'll be gone.
But how much of an impact is that going to have when I leave?
Yeah, you know, that's it, you know, it's the people who are living there that's going to fucking, you know, be on to them and that sort of stuff too, but yeah, man, like I say, and it's fucking everywhere, man. No matter what community, you know, they all say that, you know, it's coming through here, it's fucking been through here, or it is here, you know. But yeah, you know, I just try and tell them, you know, like I said, this is only the first time I sort of spoke publicly. I tell them, you know, when I'm there face to face, like, you know, I've done all that shit, stole fucking, you know, drugs and everything like that, but it fucked me up, man. It wasn't no good. If I would have done the right thing and went to school and learnt my fucking thing, I could have been doing this, like, 10, 20 years ago. I could be a fucking millionaire. I could be in Hollywood by now if I fucking started back then instead of fucking around doing all this shit.
Being the Aussie Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, you know, that's what it could have been. But, you know, so then, you know, try and give them little things like that, you know, advice and, you know, just little talks like that. And that's what we say to them, you know, culture. You know, get you want to do something, man, fuck around, do, hey,
learn your culture. But get yous fellas up here in these communities, yous are lucky because yous are, you know, yous get to do culture and that sort of stuff every day. You dance every day. It's like, you know,
it's part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of your
life. It's not just a program or a one day that you go to school and do, you know, what do you call it, a fucking period or whatever they call it, where you go into one class for 30 minutes to learn culture once a week.
That's it, yeah. And that's what's, you know, because Luther, he's been around the world, you know, doing dance and Aboriginal culture and art and all that sort of stuff, you know, and like a lot of some places, you know, them older ones, you know, they know about that sort of stuff, but the younger ones, they don't see it like that. They just see it as, oh, yeah, no, it's NAIDOC week coming up or something. We'll get to dance that day or something. But, you know, teaching them that, like, you can turn that thing into a business, you know what I mean? You can turn your culture into a business or, you know, not that you want to fucking sell out or do anything like that, but
you
can make a living off it, you know? Like, that's what I say. He's all got a phone. Yeah, this is how I've fucking done the spongy shit. That's how this, all this, yeah, you know? You can do it too. There's no reason why you can't. You don't have to be out fucking, you know, stealing and trying to be a fucking, you know, little thug. But ain't gotta little be a thug. Trying to be a little thug, stealing this shit. Hey, look, man, do you know? Fucking, that's what we're trying to do when we go up there, you know, just give them that sort of a bit of a insight into how to create an opportunity from fucking nothingness. We got no degrees or didn't go to uni or any shit like that. But like I said, the brothers traveled the world. Fucking, I got working on my own TV shows and shit now, so it's like, fucking, you can do it, you know.
Speaking of which, 2022,
here
we are, the new year, the new year with the bungee.
Yeah.
What's happening, brother, for 2022? Come on, you got to give us a bit of an insight.
Holy, okay, well, I don't know if I'm actually going to talk about it, but I'll put these two words out there, coffee and porn, that's what we're going to. Coffee, porn, and comedy. Boom. That's one. Yeah.
Everyone loves a coffee. Everyone loves a bit of porn, and
everyone loves a laugh.
Nothing better than a good laugh, is there?
That's coffee, it, right? Porn. Yeah.
Righto. Okay. Can we elaborate a little bit more into what direction? Whether it's through your channels or is it on TV? You said something about a TV show.
Yeah. So we're trying to develop it into a long form series. So yeah, it's now television show. So whether we go to we've got a lot of interest. I don't know whether we're going to go to, you know, a local broadcaster or online streamer or some shit, you know.
So, but you guys have put it into the wheels in motion. You've submitted stuff to
submitted stuff. We shot the pilot, a couple of months ago, so it should be, it's nearly almost done editing. It'll be up hopefully early next year.
Any chance I can get a sneaky peek at some stage or what?
Yeah, brother, I'll send you a link here. Too easy, bro. Yeah.
I'm going to get really stoned and kick back and watch you.
Fucking hell. No, it'll be good, bro. It'll be good. I can't wait to do that one. That's going to be fun.
That's unreal. You think that's going to be something that'll be really sort of, well, I mean, obviously you think you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't believe in yourself, but is it something that you feel going in the right hands will then sort of start to put you in a totally different direction with, you know, your weekly going-ons of, you know, setting yourself up. Obviously, you got your dance. Then you go out, you know, and you head out to sort of different sort of communities and stuff. Will that sort of start to take a bit of a backward seat and, you know, focus a little bit more around you and your career?
I think, well, it's going to be fucking massively beneficial for my career anyway in the film-wise because, you know, usually I've just done a bit of acting and occasional writing, but with this one, I'm doing like the actor, lead actor, the fucking helping with the writing, directing, and producing. So, you know, that's a lot of credits there, a lot of shoes to fucking put on, different hats. But you know, it's good, man. So, and the people that I'm working with are real fucking, you know, real helpful too, man. So, if I need help with some shit, they're always there. So, it's good.
You sit here and you just said before that you know, don't have a degree and you're not educated yet. What you're doing, most people spend years in university to try and achieve and get the right criterias ticked to be able to go out and try and then get a job or a position to then grow within. You've had this hardship earlier on. You hung in there and backed yourself and believed in what you truly knew was something great of where you could be, even through those tough times. You know, you still had a vision. You come out the other side of it. And you give it your all, and you're a success. which I personally think is very powerful in the story of redemption, is where you are and exactly what you just said. You know, like, those titles don't come easy. And no production company's just going to go, oh, he's just fucking, you know, anybody can do that. You've got to have talent and knowledge.
Yeah, I suppose, like I said, you know, they don't just give them out to anyone thing, but, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunities and I'll take it too. And
what's been, you know, something that's been really powerful for your learning that's allowed you to come to this stage in your life?
I suppose not being frightened to have a go, man. Don't be frightened to have a go. That's what I tell them young folks all the time. Don't be frightened to have a go and don't be frightened to fail. Like, you fucking fail, that's okay, that's good, that means you're learning, you know? You fail, that, who cares? No one ever gets something fucking right the first time, you know? No one ever. All these famous people you're watching, all that sort of shit, your idols, they fucking fail lots of times too, man, you know? So you gotta fail to learn, you know? But the thing is, you know, just have a go. You never know till you have a go.
What about all the negativity that surrounds? I mean, there's a lot of jealousy and a lot of people that would be looking and going, oh, yeah, fuck, you know, whatever. How do you deal with that? And what advice would you give to anybody else out there that, you know, is wanting to have a go but finds it hard to take the criticisms or, you know, deal with the negativity because it is so publicly sort of out there today?
I just don't buy into it, bro. I don't buy into it. I don't give it energy, man. A lot of people, other sort of creators that I know, like, fucking, what do you do when they do this? I say, I don't fucking do nothing. Like, people don't have to like it, you know? If they don't like it, that's fine. That's their opinion, whatever. But if you're going to sit there and argue with them, that just, you know, you're just adding fuel to the fire, you know? It just gives a fucking reason to perpetuate. I don't do that shit, man. If you don't like it, that's okay. I respect your thing. You don't like it, whatever, cool. I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to do me anyway.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? Look, I've had my critics over the time too. Usually it's the Queensland police, but...
yeah, well, they're a bit of a bigger problem, eh, bro?
Oh, fuck. It just, you know, you do your best. There's always someone that wants to kick you.
There's always some kind of...
But in saying that too, you know, that's just a battle that I've got for 2022. And I pray and hope that, you know, I'm here to deliver many more stories of redemption in the time to come. But, you know, like you do, you've got to become thick-skinned. I used to sit back and, you know, look at comments and, you know, because with iTunes, as you know, and all that sort of stuff, people get to leave a comment, you know, and a lot of people were sort of bagging the fact out of it that we were having a laugh during our interviews, you know, but we're talking about crimes that were committed and it was never and never has been about glorifying anybody's hardships. For example, you know, like, we're not here saying, you know, drugs are good, or we're not here saying commit crimes because it's cool, but it is the guest story and it's their ownership of who they were to where they are today that is so inspiring to help others actually find purpose and believe in themselves that these roads that you and I and many others have walked on and many guests that I have had on the clink, you know, we share it in good jest and we share it in a powerful way that it is real, it is raw.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's what I was going to say. It's real,
still
bro.
Got people, you know? Though, that, you know, will throw their 2 cents worth in and, oh, you know, you should be fucking never let out of jail, or you should be this, or you shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
I've had to just accept that, you like you said, you know, people are going to like it, people are going to dislike it.
Yeah.
You used to find
me up. Please.
No, you can't please everyone. No. And, you know, you probably get people go away from here and say, oh, fuck, on the last episode of the year, man, I was saying, oh, you know, Simo, fuck Simo, we know, whatever, you know, but.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, for that one person that you do connect with and that you make an impact on their life is so worth all the effort you put into what you do.
Yeah, fucking hell. That's it, you know, like you said, yeah. Hey, if it's only just one person and then they go help one person and then they go help one person, you know, you can't be.
I tell you what must feel good, looking in your beautiful children's eyes, and you know, in your wife's eyes, and knowing where you are and the road that you've all come through, and the resilience now that you would have. I mean, obviously your little ones, I suppose, are a bit like mine that aren't too privy to a lot of the real you from the past. But one day it'll come out. One day there'll have to be a moment where you have that chat.
Yeah, no, we're having them sort of conversations now with the older ones. They're asking questions like, "What
do you find that being honest with them is?" Personally, I find honesty is the best policy. I mean, they can go and find out whatever they want on the internet. It's all there. You can't hide from it. I believe my wrongs are my children's rights, and I live by that. You know, like yourself, you said before earlier in our chat, you know, about how grateful you are that, you know, your children aren't like you were at that age, you know, and I think I can relate to that 100%, and so could many of our listeners out there. And it's such a powerful passage that, you know, so many can take a lot from.
I mean, we tell them about all the fucking, you know, the good, the bad, you know, the mistakes and shit like that. That's what I say to them, you know, so we made the mistakes so you don't have to, you know. Yeah, you know, so we're telling you about
it. I was going to say, they got lots of friends that know who you are because they see the internet and stuff?
Yeah, I think they are. They get a bit shame every now and then, but they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the oldest girl, you know, like teachers and shit like that, like, oh, is your dad that your dad? Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you, I think. Yeah.
Shame, Dad, shame.
One of the daughters is like, oh, my God, fucking hell, don't do that. So I give it to
brother, look, I ask all my guests before we end our conversations if there's a passage that you can, to inspire somebody out there that's struggling, that's been, you know, where you've been or is where you were. What would be your advice?
I don't know. I suppose just remember that you are worth a shot, man. You know, you do have some fucking worth. You are valued, man. You are loved, and you know, just fucking, it's hard, but you know, you stick to it, and then you stick to it, and you get through it eventually. You know, bad times don't last forever. Everyone has them, so you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. We all go through shit every now and then, but yeah. You know, just have a bit of, if no one else got fucking belief or faith in you, have it in yourself. That's all that fucking matters.
Gabriel Willie, brother, it has been an honour. The Bush Tucker Bungie. Mate, I've loved it. Thank you for your time. And I truly hope that, like we've said, we've been able to inspire somebody out there through your story of redemption and a very powerful story of redemption that you do have.
No, always, my brother.
And where can everybody find you? Like, where can they tap in and link into all your little things? Give us your plugs.
All of them, brother. All of them there. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Tinder, Grindr, all of them.
Look, ya. Hey, fucking Grindr.
Grindr there. That's it. I'll shake my ball around for you. Nah. Look, yeah, but yeah, Bush Tucker Bungie, bro. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all of that shit. Yeah, bro.
There you go, peeps. The Bush Tucker Bungie.
Thanks for having me, my brother. It's
mate.
Been good. Sorry if I blabbled on a bit of shit there, but yeah, no, it's been a good yarn, brother.
It's always a good yarn, and here on The Clink, we keep it real. It is what it is. Stories of redemption coming to you today from the man himself, the Bush Tucker Bungie. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.